The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I was about 24 weeks pregnant. I was working out in the gym like a beast. I was like lifting. I was like doing everything. The end of my workout, I was lifting weights, squatting. I was doing everything, lunges, deadlifting. I was great. The last part of my workout, I was walking on the treadmill on an incline just to like get the rest of my energy out. And I started getting like a cramp and I was like, ooh, this doesn't feel good. I ended up going home. I went to work after. I had like this weird stomach ache all day. I was like, I think I drank like bad water. Like, I don't know what this is. I ended up leaving my office that day, like hunched over. Like I literally couldn't walk. I called my mom and my husband, hysterical crying. Like, I think I'm in labor. Like, I don't even know what this is. Like, I'm in so much pain right now. I thought I was in preterm labor. I don't know. It was very scary. It was unbearable. I got to the hospital. I went to labor and delivery. Like, that was scary. That was traumatic. Yeah, like, I'm 25 weeks. Like, I'm not having this baby.
Giving birth is one of the most significant events of your life. Sadly, the joy that you should feel can often be replaced with anxiety and helplessness instead. As a labor and delivery nurse, I'm revealing insider information to educate you, reassure you, and decrease your fear. In this podcast, you'll hear empowering birth stories and experts weigh in on a range of topics. Being Jewish also has me exploring Judaism's influence on the reproductive experience. However, I speak to anyone wishing to navigate their journey with more joy and confidence. I'm your host, Chani Fingerer, and you're listening to the Happy Birthway Podcast. Welcome to episode 44 of the Happy Birthway Podcast. The next two episodes are going to be Millie Schwecke's birth story. Millie Schwecke is a physical therapist who specializes in pelvic floor disorders, and she is going to be telling us the story of her first birth. Millie and I connected over social media, and it's really funny how you meet certain people that you just vibe with, and Millie is one such person. I can speak to her for hours on end forever. She's also a birth geek like I am. The first part is going to be leading up to her birth, and then the second part is going to be her birth and on. And happy birthday, Millie, because Millie's baby is going to be turning 1 year old. So this is a great time to release the episode. I hope that you are all doing well and enjoying the transition to summertime. And I ask you, I haven't asked you for a while, but if you can please rate and review the podcast if you have not done so yet. It really means a lot to me and it helps the algorithm get the podcast out to more people. I read every single review and it really touches my heart. And so without further ado, I present to you Millie Schwecke's birth story. I am so excited to have a very honored guest on my show. Her name is Millie Schwecke. She is a licensed physical therapist from Brooklyn, New York. She received her doctorate at Touro in Manhattan and now specializes in treating pelvic floor dysfunction. Millie sees patients with a wide variety of conditions from pregnancy and postpartum pains, bowel and bladder issues to perimenopausal conditions. She's also a certified personal trainer who uses her clinical eye to help expecting and new moms exercise safely and effectively. Millie is passionate about educating women about their health and giving them the tools they need to live a full life without any nagging aches, leaks, or weaknesses. Millie, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to finally have you here.
Thank you so much. I love this. I'm so excited.
I before we even start anything, because we're going to be talking more about your birth story in this episode, we will do a future episode, God willing, where we're going to talk, you know, get more into the nitty-gritty of pelvic floor PT and all that stuff. But I want to ask you, did you become a physical therapist, a pelvic floor? Did you specialize in pelvic floor PT because of your experiences with pregnancy and everything?
Happens to be, no. It's actually an interesting story how I found pelvic PT or how it found me. So you have to do observation hours in undergrad to apply to graduate schools. So I went to this orthopedic you know, this orthopedic outpatient place. And the first day, the first patient, I see the physical therapist that I'm shadowing put on gloves, get some lube on her hand, and she's doing some vaginal exam. And I'm standing there, and I'm a college kid, and I'm like, wait, I'm a runner, and I'm doing this because, like, I'm athletic, and I want to help people who are, you know, injured, or, like, help them prevent getting injured from sport. Like, what does this have to do with physical therapy?
I know. It's probably so traumatic. Like, what?
Yeah. I wasn't traumatized. I was just like, this is physical therapy. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't an OBGYN office. And, yeah, so I just, like, was aware of what it was from then. And I heard a lot of good things about the field. And when I was in physical therapy school, every time they brought up the pelvic floor, which was not that many times, but, you know, you do learn the basic anatomy and physiology of it. So I just thought it was super cool. And then I started looking into taking continuing education courses. So while I was still in PT school, I was newly married, never really had a pelvic floor issue. I decided let's like investigate this. I'll take one course, and if I like it, I'll pursue it further. So I took a course. Oh, I thought it was the coolest weekend ever. It just unlocked a whole new world of physical therapy that I never knew existed. And I like being a resource to people, and this is something that's not spoken about at all. Mm-hmm. And I like to help people in ways that they didn't know that they could be helped, or if they're in a situation where they feel helpless, like I could help guide them towards where they need to go.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I chose it. Once I became pregnant and had my kid, I was able to appreciate it more. And now, like, a lot of the advice I give my patients makes so much more sense because I experienced a lot of it before. So now it has a whole new meaning. But yeah, I totally was interested in this from before.
Wow, that's so cool. The pelvic floor is really cool. And like you said, people like do not talk about it. I mean, I work in OB. Okay, we literally, like, this is what we focus on, pelvic floor. And like, barely anyone talks about it. I feel like anyone who gives, you break your arm, you know, you have some kind of surgery that immobilizes you, you get an automatic referral to PT. Like, why are women who are giving birth, like, what a trauma to the pelvic floor? Like, why are they not given an automatic referral to PT? It's crazy.
Amen. Love that. Yeah.
They should have, like, you know, I always say that a lot of OBGYN offices have a nutritionist. Not a lot, but there are ones that have a nutritionist. I always say that they should have also a lactation consultant in each one because it's so great. You just have that easy access. You're already going to an OBGYN office. And now that I'm thinking about it, they should also have an in-house pelvic floor PT. Like, that's the dream team.
Yeah. So in a lot of Europe, after you give birth, you'll get a bedside visit from a pelvic floor PT. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you, you know, what to expect, what's normal, what to look out for, what red flags are. They'll probably teach you some basic breathing exercises, how to decrease swelling with certain pelvic exercises, you know, immediately postpartum. And then they give you a certain amount of visits. I think it's about 6 visits, you know, that's just like part of the healthcare system. And it's insane that that's not just a universal, every single woman situation, vaginal or cesarean birth.
Yeah. They do it better than the U.S. on many fronts. They, same thing with midwifery and nursing care. They get home visits and from nurses, too. And they don't have to, like, go out to get their baby weighed at the pediatrician. You know, they just have a nurse come to their house and do it. It's pretty logical. So, I think that that's vital. And I think that everyone should have that, whether you live in Europe or the U.S. So you specialized in PT, in pelvic floor PT, before you got pregnant and gave birth to your first baby, right? Because you have one baby. How old is he?
I have one. He's 9 months.
Okay. Yeah, I met you like long ago when you were still pregnant.
I started listening to your podcast. It came out like my last trimester.
Nice. Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm glad you found me, and I'm glad I found you. So how did that, being a pelvic floor PT and having all the knowledge that you had, luckily, because that's like a huge privilege, how did that affect your pregnancy and how you prepared and how you healed afterward? And let's just start from the beginning. Yeah. Just like, tell me your experiences.
Yeah. So going into pregnancy, I felt so unprepared to, you know, like, oh my God, I'm going to have a kid. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I don't know how to take care of a child, but I know everything about pregnancy. So let's roll with it, right? So I had a great workout regimen. I was doing everything to basically prepare my body for the first trimester when I was trying to get pregnant. During the first trimester, I was, you know, pretty nauseous, but I definitely pushed myself to get in what I could just so I could feel better after. And then during my second trimester, that's when your posture starts to really change. You know, your center of gravity is shifted forward, so your pelvis tilts forward, your breast tissue gets heavier, so your shoulders start to round, so that could lead to some, you know, back pain, pelvic pain. The baby starts to get bigger, it weighs down on your organs and your muscles, so you need to have a strong pelvic floor to be able to withhold that force. So your breath changes, you can't take as deep of a breath because the baby's in the way, pushing it into your lungs. So there's a lot of changes going on. You're also more tired generally. So I was able to target my exercise to facilitate all the changes that are happening in my body so that I would feel pretty good. And, you know, I don't know if it's because of how diligent I was, but I was the best patient ever to myself. And thank God I didn't have any pains or aches. And if I ever got a random cramp or stitch, I know exactly what yoga pose or stretch to get into right away. You know, oh, this feels like round ligament pain. Let me get out of the chair like this and stretch like that. I knew how to use proper body mechanics, how to pick things up off the floor, how to get in and out of bed. And just being equipped with that knowledge was so empowering. And that's something that I'm so passionate about teaching other women about.
Wow, lucky you, I gotta say. I just need to stop and just say how much I love physical therapists. I happen to find that, you know, besides for like the traditional doctors, midwives, nurses that are, and, you know, doulas that are birth workers, I found that there are many physical therapists that devote themselves to this area too. Have you heard of Penny Simkin?
No.
Oh, okay. So she is a physical therapist. She's old. And she's like, I don't know what you want to call her, but she's a legend, and especially in the dual world, but in the midwifery world too, because she's a physical therapist that literally devoted her entire career to physiology of labor and facilitating, mm-hmm. you know, facilitating normal physiological labor. Again, with all the micro movements. And like, I'm so into that too, because I feel like it is so underestimated in the labor world how much of the tiny little micro difference in the movements of like where we put somebody's knee, how we bend them, where we put someone's leg, mm-hmm. all that stuff, you know, how that can help with the pelvis getting, you know, making room for the baby in different ways. And I'm obsessed with it. Most people are not, like my coworkers and stuff, like whatever, the doctors, whoever I work with, I think they're seeing the value more and more, especially because I make sure to rub it in their faces when I do something and it works. You know, mm-hmm. well, they're all about pushing the pit, you know, push the Pitocin when the labor stalls or to get the labor going faster. But I'm very into right. those micro movements, like you said, like knowing mm-hmm. what to, I mean, I don't stretch, but knowing, you know, which position to put someone in corresponding to whatever's happening when they're labor, knowing, you know, mm-hmm. massage, different massage techniques and all that stuff. So I love PTs because of that. And I just have to say, I'm a massive like yogi. I love yoga. I do it. I'm and everything. Been doing it for like 10 years. So I love just to hear that. And I guess from doing yoga, I also see, and I think that the yoga instructors that are PTs also, oh my gosh, like they are rock yeah. stars, because you literally and you're a personal trainer, so similar, you literally have like all, like you have the most comprehensive, well-rounded body of knowledge.
It's a pretty good understanding. A lot of the therapists that teach the continuing education that I take are yoga teachers, and a lot of the exercises and poses we use in pelvic floor PT are modified or adapted from the practice of yoga, which is very cool. Because if I just say, get into child's pose, my patient already knows what to do. And then I just have to fix it to make it what I want to do.
That's awesome. Wow. Okay, so you were really privileged in that you had this huge body of knowledge to help yourself throughout. And I like how you said that once you know, you were probably great at what you did before you got pregnant, but once you actually got pregnant and you started to see and experience for yourself the actual, like, I guess, discomforts and problems that can crop up, you gained a whole new appreciation for it and made it that much more relevant.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Like, I'll have patients who had, let's say, ACL surgery, right? And I'm giving them all this advice. Oh, you know, this is how you should move. This is how you should walk. This is how you should get up. This is how you use your crutches. And I don't ever feel silly giving them advice, even though I never had ACL surgery before. But pre-having kids, when I used to talk to my pelvic patients and I would give them, like, pushing tips or postpartum tips, I was always like, probably looking at me like, this chick doesn't have any kids, you know, if they know me. Like, how is she giving me advice on this? Because I studied it. You don't have to have a kid to be qualified to be a pelvic PT and work with these populations. But it just made such an enormous difference after experiencing it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, listen, I'm working with the young little residents that, you know, are 22. They're not having any kids soon. And yeah, they're giving all the advice. And I have to say, like you said, you don't have to have had a baby in order to be really good at your job. Like, I work with some nurses who never had a baby in their life, and they're phenomenal. And I have to say, it can go both ways, because some nurses I've seen, you know, they had, like, very straightforward births, and or maybe they were hard or in one way or another, but they powered through and they did okay. So then when there are patients that are, like, you know, having a hard time with something, these nurses can actually project their own personal experiences and be like, oh, she's such a, you know, wuss. She's such a, you know, she can't handle things. She's so weak, because maybe they handled it differently, but that's not that. So, you know, I think in the professional world in general, you have to be careful not to project your own personal experiences, right? You have to keep it, like,
oh yeah,
objective, and yes, it can inform you in your, as all life experience can inform you in your job, but at the same time, you have to keep it not personal, and you have to realize that,
yeah, your experiences, it helps you to be more compassionate with your patients.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm totally veering off topic again. We have to get back. But I actually recently asked a nurse who had a baby about a year ago, maybe less than that, 6 months ago. You know, she was a labor and delivery nurse for like 5 years, straight out of school, like from 22. And then when she got pregnant with her first, I said to her, I said, you know, like, are you, do you, how has your perception changed? And it was very interesting to hear. It was very interesting to hear when I spoke with another nurse after that too. I'm very interested in, maybe one day we'll do like a case study interview, a bunch of professionals in the birth world to find out how their perceptions changed before and after pregnancy and having their own child, you know, when they did that. And this nurse told me, she said, I have so much more compassion for the woman. You know, sometimes, like, they would make fun of them. Like, these women would come in and they're, you know, frequent flyers coming in every other day because they're tired of being pregnant. They're not coming in for any real major, you know, complaints. So, like, you know, sometimes I see the younger nurses a little bit roll their eyes more. And I think that, you know, these two nurses I spoke to, they really gained a whole new appreciation for it and understanding. So, yeah, it definitely really can inform you and just broaden your outlook on things. So going back to the pregnancy and the birth and everything, just start from the beginning. Like, tell us all the important things and the entertaining things, because I know this is going to be a fun story.
Yeah, so it's really a crazy story. So from the start of my pregnancy, I actually had a lot of anxiety. It's kind of started before I got pregnant. Trying to get pregnant during COVID was kind of hard because I needed to go to the doctor, and I was seeing the OBGYN who delivered me when I was born. And right when COVID started, like, my period started becoming super irregular, and which was so strange. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ovulating. I don't know what's happening. He was like, why don't I give you a medication to push off your ovulation? And I was nervous to take it. I was like, I don't know. I never got a positive ovulation test, so how can I be certain that I'm ovulating too early? Like, I've been taking tests from before the mikvah, so it can't be that early, you know? So I ended up leaving that doctor and basically waiting it out till the new office that I'm currently at would see me, because no one was taking new patients during the height. This was like April, like 2020. And, you know, I had to wait for them to see me until July. So here I am, never getting a period. So I couldn't even like try to do anything. Taking ovulation tests like 5 times a day. And I was finally diagnosed with PCOS, which was such a relief because I was like, oh, okay, I could do something for that, you know? So right when I met my doctor, she said, let's get you pregnant. Great. 6 weeks later, I was pregnant. Very easy. I didn't have to do anything crazy. She just looked, took some blood work, saw what I had, and said, okay, do this, this, and that, and you're good.
Before we continue, I wanted to let you know about a revolutionary diaper brand called Diaper, D-Y-P-E-R. These eco-friendly diapers are made with viscose from bamboo, so they're soft on your baby's skin while still being extra absorbent to handle your baby's biggest accidents. Diaper wants to pass on the savings directly to you by cutting out the middleman. They ship your diapers to you for a low, predictable price with no extras or gotchas. Set your subscription and let them deliver the exact quantity you need. If you need more, they'll deliver them promptly with their exclusive SOS service. If you need less, send them back with a prepaid label. You can precisely manage your deliveries using their website or their mobile app. One of the products that I think is really cool is their diaper sense. It's a small sensor that you attach to your baby's diaper and it continuously monitors the temperature and humidity surrounding their skin. It will help you optimize your diaper changes, reduce overall diaper use, and may help reduce instances of skin rash due to prolonged exposure to moisture. All you do is snap it to the outside of the diaper and connect it to Diaper's app. It will notify you when number one or number two happens. Subscribe through the link in my show notes and you will get a free bonus diaper bag just for trying them out. You can cancel anytime with no obligation, but still keep the bag. Pregnancy and birth take a huge toll on your pelvic and abdominal organs. One in every 5 women in the United States suffers from some form of pelvic organ prolapse. There are very few pelvic support belts for women with a prolapsed uterus, vulvar varicose veins, pubic symphysis, drop bladder, etc. that exist on the market today. The products that do exist lack in comfort and fit. That's why Braceability has made it their mission to create a supportive, effective, and comfortable pelvic brace. After months of research, development, and testing, Braceability now introduces the brand new Pelvic Pro. It's an undergarment that's created to relieve aches and pains associated with pelvic floor dysfunction through innovative compression therapy. It's designed to keep you active and on the go. The Pelvic Pro helps alleviate the feeling that everything is going to fall out of the bottom. Braceability also has a huge array of pregnancy and postpartum belly wraps to support you through pregnancy and birth, including C-section abdominal binders. Click on Braceability's link in my episode show notes and enter Happy Birthway to get an exclusive discount of 15% on your whole order.
Second I peed on that stick, oh my God, was I a mess. I would cry every day. I'm going to be the worst mom. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And it was just very hard. I had a lot of inner anguish going back and forth of, you know, I only got pregnant because I took medicine. You know, I'm not really supposed to be pregnant. If, you know, if this was in the time of the Avot and Imahot, I would have been one of the infertile ones. Like, I just had all these crazy, deep, I'm not even going to get into it, thoughts, but the pregnancy was very hard emotionally. It was also like COVID times, so I couldn't bring my husband to it was a 12 week or 10 week anatomy scan. And I didn't know because they told me I could bring a support person originally. And when I got there, they didn't let him in. So I didn't even look at the monitor. I basically just cried my whole way through the exam. I'm like getting emotional now, like thinking about it. Like I was just traumatized. Like I'm by myself. I'm in this room. Like, this is crazy.
It is the worst. It is the worst, especially with baby number one. It's just like, I can't, my heart, like today I had a patient that was in like active labor that came in and we only let the support people come in like once the patient's actually admitted, and she was clearly in active labor, but she wasn't officially admitted in the hospital until, you know, she got checked and we were waiting for a doctor, and she was like crying, like, what if my husband misses the birth? And I was so upset for her. Yeah, it sucks. Oh my gosh. All of these beautiful like milestones that should have been just completely just happy to have had to miss.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. I didn't even look at the screen. Like, I don't even care about the kid. Like, I knew what I was having. I knew I was having a boy. My husband didn't know I was having a boy. He did not want to know what we were having. So I had to keep it to myself from like the second I found out at like 8 or 10 weeks, whenever they do that NIPT test.
Whoa.
And I just had to keep it to myself.
We did the opposite. Knew. I mean, we weren't the opposite. We were the opposite. I was like, let's keep it a surprise with number one. My husband's like, you can keep it a surprise. I'm not going to keep it a surprise. For me, it's like, okay, if you find out, I'm going to find out. I can't. It's not fun. So, wow. he held out.
He held out. I had to, every night I would beg him, honey, please, could I tell you what we're having? And he would always say, I always say, what do you think we're having? He would say, I mean, I have a boy. He would say, I have a feeling it's a boy, but a girl would be so cute. He used to say that every time. That exam was crazy. Meanwhile, I'm seeing a therapist once or twice a week for my anxiety, which was a godsend. Like, she was the most amazing person. She got me through everything. And I worked so hard from my first anatomy scan to my second one to not be anxious. Mm. And I get in the room and I'm chatting the technician away. Oh, I'm a pelvic PT. I know how to read ultrasounds, blah, blah, blah. So talking. And at the end, she looks at me and she goes, oh, I need to bring the doctor in.
Having a fussy, nonstop crying baby can take all the joy out of motherhood. Is it gas? Is it constipation? Is it colic? It's hard to know, but there is a solution for all of those. Happy Tummy is a waistband that comes with an herbal pouch. When you microwave the pouch and apply the waistband to your fussy baby, your baby is instantly soothed. That's thanks to natural formulation of herbs including flaxseed, chamomile, lemongrass, peppermint, spearmint, and lavender. Happy Tummy is all natural, no drugs or drops. And not only does it quickly soothe your baby, but it smells terrific. Happy Tummy also has adult-sized waistbands, which mothers love for cramps, stomach aches, and back aches. Use my code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 10% off your whole order on happytummy.com. That's HAPPYTUMMI.com, code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 10% off.
KiwiCo crates are a monthly subscription of crates that come filled with age-appropriate STEAM projects for kids, from toddlers to teenagers and even adults. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. Every crate explores a different theme designed to spark creativity, thinking, and learning. All projects, inspiration, and activities are created by a team of product designers in-house and rigorously tested by kids. KiwiCo offers all different product lines spanning variety of interests and age ranges. Panda Crate is for babies from 0 to 24 months. Each crate helps babies learn by doing what they do best, playing, exploring, and most importantly, interacting with the people in their lives. Crates arrive every other month and are filled with 2 months worth of content. So if you're trying to figure out what a developmentally appropriate way to interact with your baby is, Panda Crates will take the guesswork out. For an exclusive 30% off discount on your first month subscription, go to kiwico.com, that's KIWICO.com, and enter code LEARN30 at checkout. That's kiwico.com, code LEARN30 at checkout.
And basically they tell me that the baby has a VSD, so that's a ventricular septal defect, basically a small hole in the heart. And I don't remember anything after that. I remember walking out of the office just like tears in my eyes. My husband wasn't even with me. Like, I didn't even bother asking him to come into the city with me because I knew they weren't going to let him in. So my mom just waited in the car. So it was pretty traumatic. That I actually scheduled an amnio on my way out because that's what they were recommending. And I scheduled an appointment with genetic counseling, and it was just such a mess. And once I got myself together, I canceled the amnio. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with genetic counseling. They said the risks of an amnio are higher than the risks of a VSD. Mm-hmm. That was like what I got out of it. And I had no intention of even showing up to that appointment, but that's what they were telling me to do. So I was like, too much of a mess to even, you know, think or do anything.
Right. Knee-jerk reaction, just whatever, robotically. Did you have a history of anxiety before you got pregnant?
Nothing specific. I've been in therapy before, but like for life circumstances that were like legitimately stressful.
Right. So it was just basically,
It wasn't diagnosed, but I think it was probably like a perinatal mood disorder. Yeah. Because I was crying myself to sleep every night. I couldn't go to sleep without AirPods in my ears. Like, I needed something to distract me from my thoughts. It wasn't fun. It really wasn't fun. Yeah. So,
well, kudos to you for being open and talking about it, because way too many people experience things like this. And I love how you're just so frank about it and talking about it, just like you're talking about, you know, nausea and pregnancy and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's fine. I think a lot of people go through it and they just don't talk about it. But they hear me talk about it, they'll just know that, you know, it's okay. Like, it's really not easy. And you should know that, you know, there's other people going through this.
Many. other people going through this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. I just, my heart even for you, I can't. And once again, going back to not having anyone with you, you know, unfortunately, I've experienced way too many situations where patients got bad news in the hospital without anyone with them too. And it's just absolutely devastating. It's horrible.
Yeah. They sent me to the most amazing pediatric cardiologist. So I was like changing my work schedule around so much to go. And he was incredible. He wasn't an alarmist. He was super chill. Thank God. By the time I was 32 weeks pregnant, they told me the hole had closed.
Yeah.
In hindsight, and I spoke to the pediatrician in the hospital I gave birth in right after, and he said that I got my anatomy scan early, so the baby's heart wasn't even done forming yet. So of course they saw a hole, and you know,
I'm so happy that things resolved during the pregnancy, and I'm happy that you had the
really
thank
God. I'm so grateful.
And I'm so happy you had the support of a good pediatric cardiologist that to prepare in case that you would have needed extra medical support when you had your baby. So do you regret finding out? Like, do you regret after everything, or are you
finding out what?
Meaning to say, I guess there was just so much talk on Instagram about prenatal screenings and everything like that, you know?
Oh, so, okay, basically, I missed one detail. They found an ovarian cyst at my 12-week checkup, but that, for some reason, like, didn't really freak me out. I was like, the baby's fine. I just have a cyst. And they told me, don't worry, it'll go away on its own. So I think that's why I had to get that screening early. Like, that's what they recommended. And I didn't see, and this is something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about knowing, you know, your rights and what's medically necessary versus what's not. And I didn't even know to ask, like, do I need to get this anatomy scan at 16 weeks? Like, I didn't even know that was a question I could ask. I'm so happy I learned that now, because I could, you know, tell people that every time a doctor wants to do an intervention, you have to know that you could ask, why are you doing this? What are the pros and cons? What are the risks? What are the benefits? Oh, Don't just let them do things to you.
I eat, sleep, and drink this. Yeah. And breathe it.
Yeah. So, you know, now I know that I don't have to do every single test they want. I mean, I'm the type that I like to err on the side of caution, but to a degree. Next time I would wait to do that till 20 weeks, even though they found that cyst. Fast forward to my second trimester. I was about 24 weeks pregnant. I was working out in the gym like a beast. I was like lifting. I was like doing everything. One day I came home and I just like couldn't. Like the end of my workout, I was lifting weights, squatting. I was doing everything, lunges, deadlifting. I was great. The last part of my workout, I was walking on the treadmill on an incline just to like get the rest of my energy out. And I started getting like a cramp and I was like, ooh, this doesn't feel good. I ended up going home. I went to work after. I had like this weird stomach ache all day. I was like, I think I drank like bad water. Like, I don't know what this is. I ended up leaving my office that day like hunched over. Like I literally couldn't walk. I called my mom and my husband, hysterical crying, like, I think I'm in labor. Like, I don't even know what this is. Like, I'm in so much pain right now. Called my doctor crying. Like, I'm a baby with pain. I have no pain tolerance, but.
You are? You're not? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I have no pain tolerance. Like, I can't handle
anything.
I actually
beg to differ, because I think that anyone that works out so much can tolerate pain. So maybe it's a different kind of pain, but you really do. I find that you have endurance.
I definitely have endurance. I'm a marathon runner.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
But acute, sharp pain going away, I don't know. So I thought I was in preterm labor.
I'm just giving you more credit. I'm just giving you more credit than, you know, you're giving
Thank
yourself.
Thank you.
So the pain must have been really terrible. Yeah.
It was really like, it was unbearable. I got to the hospital. I went to labor and delivery. Like, that was scary. That was traumatic. Yeah. My doctor to say on the phone, oh, come to labor and delivery. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, for the first baby, it's like, what?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm 25 weeks. Like, I'm not having this baby. Mm-hmm. Turned out my darling son, who I love so much, was sitting on my ovarian cyst. He was sitting on it, and it was kind of like occluding the blood
flow. It's
probably
comfortable, you know? It's like cushy, maybe.
Oh, my goodness. No, it was actually a dermoid cyst. When I eventually got it removed at 3 months postpartum, there was hair, teeth, and nails inside of that cyst. So
maybe it was like a long lost twin of his, you know?
Definitely not comfortable. It's like stem cells that don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And they like differentiate somewhere in your abdomen. Mine happened to
have maybe there was a friend in there for him, you know?
Yeah. No, just the integumentary system.
Yeah. he was sitting on your cyst. Oh my gosh. Ouch. So how'd you get him off? Did you do a headstand?
So while I was in the hospital, my doctor from the practice I'm at came to see me, and she was lovely enough to give me morphine, I guess in a safe dose. And I don't even remember if they told me we're giving you morphine. That's how out of it I was. I think maybe if it was someone else, they would have been really upset. I was just so happy to be out of pain. Like, I couldn't even sleep.
No, why would they be upset? Morphine is fine in small doses, intermittent, occasional, that's fine. We give morphine when needed. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fantastic. The morphine. I was there. I did a bunch of scans, and he just like moved off, and like I was fine. So I just like went home the next day. I stayed by my aunt and uncle's apartment right next to the hospital just for Shabbat, so I could be nearby just in case anything happened.
Near the morphine.
I just wanted out of there.
Near the morphine.
Yeah, I just wanted near the drugs. I just wanted to be out of there. So the rest of my pregnancy was, I guess, the next, because I gave birth 39 weeks. So like the last 38. No, it was 38 weeks I gave birth.
Oh, I hate you.
So 13.
I gave birth after weeks. 41 weeks to mine. Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so 13 weeks later, I'm in the same hospital. So funny. Same hospital. I already know where triage is. I already know the situation. So I
You're
felt
pro.
Like I'm like a superstar here. It's not my first time at the rodeo.
Thanks for tuning into the Happy Birthway podcast. Head over to Yoledit Academy on Instagram to continue the conversation. You'll find the link in the episode show notes, as well as links to any additional resources, products, and services mentioned here. If you love listening to this show, you can help it grow by sharing it with your friends and rating and reviewing it. To stay in the loop when new episodes are released, make sure to subscribe. Remember that your health needs are unique and require individualized medical advice. The podcast is not a replacement, and some of the information may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances. My mission is to educate you so that you can confidently collaborate with your healthcare team. I believe that a healthy mom and healthy baby are simply not enough. We also need a happy mom with an empowering birth experience.